I'm Kelby, and I love cartoons. If you're anything like me, cartoons and animation provide a well-needed escape from the stresses of the real world. So come join me in this little corner of the world that I've created for myself and for you too. We all like cartoons here. Welcome to Kelby's Cartoon Corner. Hey, so, I'm back. Kind of. First of all, the audio for this entire episode is going to be rough. The audio for this beginning part is going to be rough because I don't have my everything set back up. And then the audio for the actual episode is also going to be rough because it was on my old microphone before I got a new one. So it's one of those things that I know I can hear it. I don't know if anybody else can hear it. I don't know if anybody else cares. But just in case you hear something and it sounds kind of funny, that's why. This is an edited and re-uploaded version of an episode that I did last year in October for Spooky Month, and then I don't know what happened, but I accidentally deleted it, and I just have never put it back up because in the back of my head I'm like, oh, well, I have this extra episode in case something happens and I miss a week or something. I have something to go up in the meantime, but here we are, like, 8 months later. So, hey, hello. I am not dead. I am fine. Well, I'm not fine, but, like, I'm here. I'm still working and trying to produce content, but it's a really slow process. I got very, very overwhelmed with Adventure Time, and it got to the point where I was just like, no podcast anymore. No more. We can't. No. So we're slowly working back into it, and so to give you something, here is this old episode that I have just locked and loaded and ready to go. But I wanted to check in and say, hey, I'm still here. I'm still working on producing content. It's just slow going. If you're out there and you've been listening for this entire time, like, bless. If you've listened to every episode, if you keep checking the Adventure Time episode and wondering when part two is coming, it's gonna be a little bit, if it comes out at all, because I'm, like, anytime I even think about Adventure Time, I'm just like, huh, because I don't, it's overwhelming. But I am working on new content. I'm working on an episode that I would really like to get out by the end of October, but, like, I don't know if that's actually going to happen, but I'm working on it. It's very important to me personally, and it's going to be a little bit of a different tone than what other episodes have been in the past. It won't be as fun. I mean, it's not that it's not going to be fun, but, like, it's not going to be as lighthearted as some other episodes have been, but I've got a roster of stuff that I want to cover. I've got plans. I just need to actually get started working on it. But before that can happen, I have to turn my old bedroom life update. I live on my own now. I don't live with Madison anymore. Actually, at the time of recording this, it's been a week that she's been moved out. There's no bad blood or anything. It was just, we're grown-ups now, and it's time for us to live on our own. So she moved out, and I stayed in the same place, but I am currently sitting on the floor on my mattress in her old bedroom because the entire house is just a work in progress as I shuffle all my stuff from one bedroom into the other because her bedroom is bigger. So it's just me. But that's one of the, that's one of the big things. While I'm working on this script for this really serious episode, I'm also moving all my stuff around and shuffling and trying to set up a recording studio in the old bedroom. So it's a lot of stuff happening in the background. I just wanted to check in, give you something to listen to for October, and then hopefully at the end of the month I'll have something else, and then we can really get started putting out more stuff for you guys to listen to. So if you're out there and you've been listening, I really appreciate it. I appreciate you sticking it out and staying with me as I get myself together and I figure out what I really want this to be. I think when I'm finally in a place where I can come back to this, like, I have a, I have a plan. I have more of a plan than I've had in the past where I'm just sitting down and throwing episodes together. Like, I think it's gonna be really nice. So also along with that, this is turning out to be a really long intro. Hey, I'm sorry. I haven't talked to you guys in a really long time. along with that, wow, my whole train of thought just stopped. Wow. Cool. Fantastic. This whole intro is going to be really fun. So I'm back and I still have no idea what I was talking about. Zero idea. That's another fun thing is I'm in the process of, like, possibly getting diagnosed with ADHD. Because that right there, just in mid-conversation, I was in the middle of, like, a whole dissertation about how important this podcast is to me. And then my whole brain just said, no, we're done. No more words. Absolutely not. No thoughts. Head empty, zero thoughts. What? Okay, so, yeah, if you've been listening this whole time, you know, I really appreciate it. Thanks for your patience as I work to get this together and continuing to try to get it off the ground to be something that I could possibly make a career out of, but like, don't know if that's gonna happen, but like, hey, in the meantime, it's really fun to do. I really enjoy it. I like watching cartoons. Obviously, you also like watching cartoons if you're listening to this, or you're someone who knows me in real life and just likes to listen to hear me talk. That's also cool. Hey, if you're out there. So yeah, I guess that's it. I just wanted to jump on here and say, hey, again, I feel like I'm repeating myself over and over again, just saying the same things over and over again. Thanks for listening. I appreciate it. I'm trying to get new content together. Also, lately, anytime I watch something animated, movie or TV show, I'm just like, I could do a podcast episode on this, and then I want to sit down and do it, but like, I don't want to watch something over and over again to be able to pick it apart, to make it into a podcast episode, to the point where I don't enjoy watching it anymore. Like, not like what I did with Code Lyoko, but like, there's a couple of shows where I'm just like, ugh, I don't want to, I just watched that 3 times in a row to be able to do a podcast episode on it. So like, there's just some stuff that I don't want to cover because I do really like it and I don't want to ruin it for myself. However, I do still really want to do something about Digimon, because the new show just wrapped up. Wow. Okay. All right. We got to rein this in. Come on. The new show just ended, and I want to do a comparison of Adventure to the new show. I have a lot of ideas for content. It's just actually sitting down, watching it, scripting it, recording it, and then editing and uploading. It's like the whole producing process is what gets me. Like, because I don't trust myself, because here we are, I'm watching the time go by. It's 8 minutes into this. It won't be 8 minutes by the time I edit it, but like right now as I'm recording, we're 8 minutes into this intro that was just supposed to be me hopping on saying, hey, I'm not dead, and here's this episode, and now here we are. So, like, I don't trust myself to now have a script is what I'm saying. Also, the SpongeBob episode. That's it! That's what I was saying. Oh my god, it came back. Oh my god. Okay, I was saying I am going to be doing this style of something, whatever you want to call this. I'm going to be redoing a couple of really old episodes. Like, I would like to go back and actually script SpongeBob so you can listen to it and it's not just me, like, just rambling about nothing and my whole way through a script as I'm trying to form cohesive thoughts. I would like to redo Danny Phantom. I'd like to redo Regular Show. There's like a couple of really old episodes where I was just in my living, I had the audacity to be sitting in my living room, sitting 3 feet away from my microphone. Like, okay, right now I'm sitting in an empty bedroom, but like, I'm trying really hard to make it sound okay. But like, and now I go back and I listen to those and I hear them and I'm like, ew, why did I do that? So I'm trying to redo a couple of old episodes. So if you start to see episodes getting uploaded and you're like, hey, hasn't there already been an episode about this show? Yes, probably. And it could just be a re-upload of me going back and really structuring the script the way that I want future episodes to be structured so that everything is cohesive. That's what I was trying to say. Cool. I said everything that I wanted to. Here you go. Have fun with Gravity Falls. Happy spooky month. Maybe I'll see you at the end of this month. If not, perhaps for Christmas, because I also have Christmas things scheduled. So, all right, here we go. Have fun. Thanks for listening. I love it here. Let's go. Let's have a great time. I don't record these episodes with the intent that anyone will listen like it's a story or anything. I just assume that you'll see the title of a show that you like, and then you'll listen because we both enjoy that show. Gravity Falls is the show that kind of started me on this journey of getting into all the modern day cartoons. Yeah, I watched Regular Show, but that was just fun because I remembered my brother watching it when I still lived at home. But Gravity Falls is the first modern-day cartoon that I really got into, and then from there, I watched Steven Universe, Infinity Train, Amphibia, and I'm working on Adventure Time, but I'm stuck in Season 1, but I know it gets better, and I'm trying to push through it. I have a list of shows that I still need to watch from the modern era, too. Kipo, She-Ra is on my list on Netflix. And if anyone knows where I can find the Owl House to watch, I'm trying really hard to not watch any videos about it so I can be surprised. But it's hard, yo, because the internet really likes this show. And I want to like this show, but I haven't seen it. So I can't be, you know, I can't have an opinion either way because I haven't seen the show yet. Because it's not on Disney Plus, but it should be. Petition to put Owl House on Disney Plus. I'm like reading things as I'm scrolling and it's really messing with my brain. So yeah, Gravity Falls is the show that kind of started all of this. My rediscovered love of animation, my obsession with Steven Universe, and eventually my starting this podcast. It all happened because of Gravity Falls. And I never would have watched Gravity Falls if one of my friends hadn't gotten Mabel's sweater tattooed on her arm. So shout out to Brooke for also being obsessed with cartoons. I appreciate that. I need another person in my life that also likes cartoons and, like, is a functioning adult. I did spoil the entirety of Gravity Falls for myself. Before I was really ready to commit to it, I watched a bunch of videos about the show, and I stumbled onto a timeline video, and I watched it. So going into the show, I knew all the big plot, the plot twists and everything that was going to be happening, but I still really enjoyed it, even though I knew all the major stuff. I still thought the story was engaging enough to keep me watching, and going back to watch the show a second time, I was just as into it. Actually, I was way more invested in the finale this time around. I was home alone and just, like, yelling at the TV, which, like, hasn't happened since Infinity Train. So, that's something. Also, this was the fastest that I have ever binged a show just for the purpose of this podcast since I watched Danny Phantom. I watched most of Danny Phantom over a weekend, and I watched Gravity Falls in, like, a week. Usually it takes me a few weeks to get all the way through a show, but Gravity Falls, it helps that it's really short. But also, the story was really engaging, so I didn't have, I mean, it's 4:30 a.m. Like, do you want to watch the next episode? Absolutely, I want to watch the next episode. I already know what happens, but I'm gonna watch the next one anyway. I really like this show. So because I spoiled the show for myself, and I don't want to do that for you, I'm gonna try to avoid any kind of spoiler stuff. I really just want to talk about what the show means to me. I'll give some broad strokes of the plot, and then to close out, I bought journal number... Again, hit the table really hard with my elbow, sorry. I bought journal number 3, and it ends really sweetly, so I'm gonna read the end of journal number 3, but that is not yet. We've got a little bit before we get there. Gravity Falls follows the summer adventures of a pair of 12-year-old twins, Dipper and Mabel Pines. Their parents sent them to spend the summer with their great-uncle Stan in Gravity Falls, Oregon. Stan runs a tourist trap called the Mystery Shack, and the twins work there during the day. In the very first episode of the show, Stan sends Dipper to hang up posters for the Mystery Shack, and Dipper discovers a hole in the ground. Inside the hole is a really old journal with a 6-fingered hand on the front and a number 3 written in it. And yo, first of all, I watched the timeline video, and it took me until halfway through season 2 to figure out that this hand had 6 fingers on it. That totally blew my mind. It flew completely over my head. I had no idea. I was just like, oh, a hand. Also, a lot of times in animation, characters only have 4 fingers, but in Gravity Falls, they all have 5, except for one character. But that is going to get us into spoiler territory, so we're going to steer around that, and we're going to come right back into where we were. So, ever since they came to Gravity Falls, Dipper has been noticing some strange stuff happening, and this journal is full of records of strange and weird things. He keeps the journal and reads through it to see if anything he's seen shows up in the journal. Okay. Again, I don't read these before we start, so sometimes sentences feel really redundant after I read them out loud, but that's okay. Dipper is determined to uncover the secrets of Gravity Falls, and this journal is his guide, but there's a mystery that even he doesn't know. At the end of episode 1, we see Stan enter a code into the vending machine in the gift shop, and then there's a secret passage behind it. This is something that Dipper and Mabel don't even know about until the beginning of season 2. They just showed us that little bit, enough to make us wonder, and then the mystery of what Stan is up to perpetuates through the rest of season 1 and into season 2. This feels like a good a place as any. I flipped through the journal just to see if there was anything else that was worth reading, and I found a timeline of Gravity Falls that I think is really cool, so I'm going to read that real quick, and let me pause so I can get resituated. Okay, so I resituated, and I've come to the conclusion that I'm just going to have to hold this microphone while I read. So the audio might be a little bit choppy. It might be, I don't know, it might be something that I don't even include in the, like,
final edit of the podcast, but that's okay. We just have this in here just in case. So again, if you're a fan of Gravity Falls and you don't already own this journal, I highly recommend that you go out and get it. The only thing that I have not done in this journal yet is I don't have a black light, so I haven't like shined a black light over it, but I've been up and down and backwards through this journal and I've read everything that's in here except for at the end. Well, we'll get to that when we get to it. I'll read that when it's there. So again, this is a recorded history of Gravity Falls written from the perspective of the author of the journals, whom I will not reveal the name of. I'm not going to reveal their name until the very, very end of this podcast, because, again, I don't want to spoil anything. So, a bit of history. Weeks have passed, and I'm still no closer to discovering the grand unified theory of weirdness. Whenever I feel as though I've hit a roadblock, I like to read up on Gravity Falls Pass in the public library. This town's history may hold clues to the source of its weirdness. Gravity Falls assembled history. This is a timeline. It's assembled, like, vertically, so I'm gonna read. I'm gonna do the best I can, but I make no promises of how, like, fluid this is gonna be. So, 65 million dinosaurs ruled until they didn't. 30 million... UFO original impact, valley formed, tree ring interruption / radiation test confirm. Tell no one about this. AD 1000, native people mysteriously evacuate town in a hurry. Describe Gravity Falls as cursed land. Leave behind treasure trove of pottery, blankets, and symbols. Some art depicts my muse and his interactions with a shaman named Modok. Art hoarded by Northwest, which, again, if you... I don't have time to unpack the entirety of Gravity Falls, but the Northwests are the rich people in town who claim that their family founded Gravity Falls. So that leads into our next point. 1842, town is founded by Nathaniel Northwest, and then it's crossed out and written in Dipper's handwriting, Quentin Tremblay. And again, if you've seen the show, you know what that means. 1849, gold rush. 1850, lesser known flannel rush. 1851, mining ceases after miners claim sightings of prehistoric beasts. Need to investigate. 1860s, high five supposedly invented by Oregon Trail settlers Grady and Fertilia. Mm-hmm. Fertilia sets record of 42 children. Oh, Fertilia. That's funny. I appreciate that. Okay. Whew. That audio is going to be real because my hand was shaking while I was laughing. Okay. Woo. Okay. 1883. The great train crash of 83. Conductor distracted by flash of light and careens off cliff. 1920. Maple syrup prohibition leads to pancake speakeasies. 1937. Plane crash in mountains. Woman escapes into forest. Amelia was here, carved in mountainside. 1947. UFO sighted. Headed east. Ronald Sprout Sr. claims to shoot it with his shotgun. 1960, Greasy's Diner salvages crashed train parts for restaurant. 1975, my arrival in Gravity Falls. 1981, discovery of Muse. The future, 2012, giant baby takes over universe. And that looks like Mabel's handwriting, which is valid because they did encounter the time baby later in the season. And then, on the next page, I don't think this has anything to do with the, like, timeline. I just, like, forgot this was in here, and now I'm really interested in what it says. So it says, While searching history in the library archives, I found an unnoted, rusty, Come on, cursive writing. While researching history in the library archives, I found an unnoticed, rusty ancient box with the word pines scrawled on it and an etching of a key. Curious, I broke it open and found this. I cannot understand the code, so the meaning is lost on me. One day I may decipher it. And then there's like two full pages of code, but like there's also a picture in here, and the picture is 100% Blendin from the future, from the year 2012. And also someone who looks like he could possibly be of Pine's descent, unclear. But this entire, like, the next two pages are completely in code. And I'm very curious to know what it says. So I may take some time, perhaps over the winter or something when I need a project, and take a day and try to decipher what this page says. Or I could probably just Google it, but like I'd much rather just do it myself and give myself that sense of accomplishment, because we all need that right now. We need to feel like we're accomplishing something. So I'm going to put this mic down and I'm going to resituate everything and put the book away for a little bit so I can come back into my script. So we are going to pause. So I hope y'all enjoyed that, because that was kind of a little bit of chaos that happened right here in the middle of the podcast. Again, I did not really think about how that was going to play out when, like, just having to read and hold a book and hold a microphone. It was a little bit nuts, but that's okay. Eventually, I am going to get a boom arm so I don't have to be holding my microphone. And, like, if I accidentally hit the table, it won't rattle the microphone. I just don't have the money for something like that right now. So we're just going to have to make do with what we got. So, again, coming back into the script, I hope you liked that little bit of, I hope that wasn't too much chaos. I hope you could, like, track what I was doing, what was going on. That little bit of a timeline, honestly, is enough to kind of give you an idea of the humor of Gravity Falls. Like, Fertilia, what a remarkable name for a woman who bore 42 children. That was marvelous. And I did not catch that until just now. But that's really fun. But that kind of gives you a sense of the history of Gravity Falls. It kind of gives you a sense of the humor of the show in general. There is an entire timeline where, not a timeline, a storyline where they discover that Nathaniel Northwest was not actually the founder of Gravity Falls. And then Dipper and Mabel go on this entire day expedition to find that there was a government conspiracy and like a cover-up to cover up the guy who actually founded Gravity Falls, who was the 8th and a half president of the United States, and his name was Quentin Tremblay, and he was such like a weird guy that they launched this entire conspiracy theory or like cover-up to cover up the fact that he founded Gravity Falls, because the reason that he founded Gravity Falls was because he was riding his horse backwards and he fell off a cliff and he fell into this valley and he was like, ooh, this would make a good place for a town. And so he named it Gravity Falls, and he was silly, but he was able to survive for like 200 years like underground because he preserved himself in peanut brittle. And then I don't think he ate himself out. I think Mabel, like, broke off a chunk of it, and that was enough to get him free. Whatever. He was very silly, and just, like, the idea of something like that is fun. But the fact that the journal even exists in a hard copy is a testament to the lengths that... the fact that... I'm going off script, so I'm kind of, like, rambling. The fact that the journal even exists in a hard copy is just a testament to how much world building that Alex Hirsch did to establish the world of Gravity Falls. And I talk about that later, but I just wanted to point out that the fact that the journal exists and the fact that there's an entire page that's completely in code that I haven't figured out yet, because again, I forgot that it was in there. I just think that's really fun. And it, you know, the show has been over for 4 years and there's still stuff to discover for me, because I just discovered the show like a year ago. So for me, there's still plenty of stuff to learn and decode and decipher and all that kind of stuff. So all that kind of stuff is what makes Gravity Falls so good. They show us this little bit, and then we learn more, and we uncover layers of mystery. Dipper finds this journal, and then he uses it to defend himself and his friends and his family from these monsters and all the weird stuff around Gravity Falls. And as we go on, Dipper kind of starts to wonder who wrote the journal. I think, if I remember right, it was Mabel who posed the question, who wrote the journals? And then Dipper spends the entire rest of the summer trying to figure out who the author of the journals is. And again, not going to spoil it until the very end, and I don't tell you who it is, I just say their first name. So, just giving you a heads up. So as he goes searching for the author, we meet Gideon, who is Stan's competition because he also runs a tourist trap. Gideon is a little boy who claims to have psychic powers, and as the series goes on, we learn that he's actually a fraud, but we also learn that Gideon has a journal with a hand on the front, but his has a number 2 on it. So when Gideon learns that Dipper also has a journal, he assumes that there's only 2, and that Dipper must have journal number 1. So Gideon gets his hands on both journals, but he's shocked to find out that there are 3 and not just 2, and that leads to another mystery. Who has journal number 1? Where is it? Where did it go? Where is it? Those are basically the same question. That's okay. So Dipper shows Stan the journal he found after they beat Gideon, and Stan borrows it for a little bit, and turns out that Stan has journal number 1, and he took journal number 2 from Gideon, so now he has all 3 journals. He flips them open, and they all merge to make this giant blueprint for some kind of weird machine, so Stan gets to work rebuilding whatever it is, and when he gets done, he pulls a lever, and it starts a countdown, and that's how season 1 ends. This is a show that I wish I had really been into when it was popular for a lot of reasons, but I'm also really glad that I found it on a streaming service so I don't have to wait forever to watch season 2, because I can't imagine having to wait to find out what that machine is for and why the countdown is happening. But that's all I'm going to give you as far as plot goes, but I will tell you that we do learn who the author of the journals is pretty early on in season 2. I just don't want to spoil anything, but I'm also really selling it short. There's so much that happens in season 1 that makes this show so great, and not all of it is super plot heavy, but it's still very fun. Such as Mabel falling in love with a merman named Mermando after he gets trapped in the public pool and having to free him by breaking into the pool at night. Also, he ends up being Dipper and Mabel's first kiss, both of them. He is both of their first kiss. I think that's really fun. Dipper bringing a video game character to life to fight Robbie, who is dating Wendy, a girl that Dipper likes. Dipper making a copy of himself, so he has plenty of chances not to ruin a night with Wendy. Not a copy, many copies, multiple copies. So many Dippers. Dipper and Mabel joining Wendy and her friends on a wild teenage night where they break into a haunted old gas station, and Mabel gets high off candy that's been banned from being sold in the U.S. This is honestly one of my favorite episodes, and it happens very early on. I want to say it's episode like 4 or 5. It's very early. It's called... What is the candy called? I don't remember what it's called, but it's basically like a Fun Dip stick, and it like is banned from being sold in the U.S. and for good reason, because Mabel eats like 15 packages of it. No, what does she say? I think she says 117 is how many packages of this candy she ate, and she like hallucinates. Actually, hold on there's a thing in the journal about it. I found the journal entry after they break into this convenience store. I'm sorry, I did not mean to. I'm having a lot of fun with this, and I hope you can tell. So this is the entry from, let me back up, because Dipper found this journal, and then when he was reading through it, he got to the end, and there were just a bunch of blank pages. So Dipper has started writing in this journal. So this is from Dipper the night after they got back from the haunted convenience store. June 14th, just got back from an incredible adventure at a haunted convenience store. I fought these 2 ghosts and beat them single-handedly. I had to dress up as a... You know what, never mind. Not really anything noteworthy about how they were defeated. But Wendy and her teen friends were all really impressed. Nothing really to write about Wendy either. I mean, what would I write, right? Okay, I'm done writing. And then it, like, switches handwriting. Well, I'm not. Dipper's gone to bed, but I need to write down what happened tonight. And I forget the combo to my diary lock again, and I can't stop thinking about, oh gosh, Aoshima. It's like a really weird, like, four-headed dolphin with a bunch of birds coming out of each, like, dolphin beak. It's very strange. It's all part of Mabel's hallucination that she has when she's high on sugar. Oh, Smile Dip. That's the name of the candy, bless. Okay, so the land of Smile Dip. Oh, sure, it looks lovely, but these devil dogs speak in backwards nightmare language that will haunt you forever. I got here by eating 17 packages of an expired, banned European sugar candy called Smile Dip. This may be the first time I've ever had a bad idea, and I'm sure it'll be my last. And then there's, like, writing all over it. It says, beware of the, like, devil dogs. Okay, cool. That was it. Again, we went off script a little bit, but that's okay. I feel like it's worth it when I get really excited like that. I feel like it's worth it to go off script. I'm always so nervous when I write these scripts that they're not going to be long enough, and then I get into it, and I'm like, oh, you know what? I have a million things to say about why I like the show, so we're good. I never need to worry about how long scripts are. I can just ramble about nothing for literal days. It might not be coherent, but, like, you know, if you want a podcast that's going to be a certain length of time, I can make it happen. All right, we're getting back in. Mabel wins a pet pig at the fair and also time travels. This episode has a lot of time traveling in it. We're back into the where I'm listing all the things that are fun about Gravity Falls. Also, the pet pig's name is Waddles, and he's really cute. The gang discovering that dinosaurs survived extinction by being preserved in sap miles underneath Gravity Falls. And this is the thing that the timeline thing was talking about, where miners stopped mining because they discovered dinosaurs. And that's why. Because they're preserved in sap below Gravity Falls. That's bringing everything full circle. Mabel getting into a mini golf off with her rival Pacifica and discovering I'm talking too fast. I'm really excited. I love everything about this show. Mabel getting into a mini golf off with her rival Pacifica and discovering the existence of the Lilliputians, small golf ball people who control the mini golf course. And again, there is a journal entry about that. You know what? We're going to continue to read things from this journal because I think that's fun. It adds some zest. Also, side note, because I just flipped through the journal trying to find this entry about the Lilliputians. One episode, there is Stan used to have a wax museum-esque, like, exhibit thing at the Mystery Shack, and turns out that they're, like, haunted or something, or possessed. I don't know what the terminology is, but they come to life at night, and the kids have to defeat the wax figures, and they defeat all of them except for, like, the head of Wax Larry King, which is, I don't know, for some reason I thought that Larry King was dead. Is he dead? Is he not dead? I don't know. I didn't Google before I started this because I forgot that it happened, but I just thought that was funny because I thought he was dead. I mean, I guess a lot of the, one of them is Sherlock Holmes, so, like, they're all dead, I assume. Maybe he is dead. Maybe that's supposed to be the thing. Huh. Okay, well, anyway, that was a little bit of a side tangent, and now I'm going to get into the journal entry about the Lilliputians. Is this more than one page? Oh, bless. It's not. It's one solid page. We're good. So, this is Dipper's journal entry about the Lilliputians. There we go. If I hold it like that, it's much better. After the horrors of the last few days, Mabel and I decided to try to have some summer relaxation at the local mini golf place. Bit of advice, you can never relax in Gravity Falls. Instead, we encountered the Lilliputians. Mini golf major terror. This tiny race of golf ball people has been turning the golf course into a war zone every night for eons. Seuss says, side note, Seuss is the handyman of the Mystery Shack, and for the longest time I thought his name was Zeus. It is not. It is S-O-O-S. Seuss. It's very strange. I don't know where this name comes from. But anyway, Seuss says that he's always suspected that tiny people control the mini golf course, gumball machines, ATMs, and cuckoo clocks, and I'm starting to wonder how many he's right about. Delightful costumes help distinguish each golf hole's population and keep their 100-year race war going. Look cute from a distance, but get up close and they are pockmarked horror show. Rubber brains inside a golf ball head makes them not so smart. Golf ball heads make them nearly indestructible. On the bright side, they hate Pacifica as much as I do. Mabel tried to keep one as a pet and bring it home. She named him Weensy and put him in her pocket, but he escaped by poking a hole out with a golf ball pencil. If my shrinking adventure taught me anything, Weensy will probably be caught in a jar by another curious kid soon. Weakness, a swift whack to the face with a golf ball club. Because they're golf ball people, so that's fun. Then I'm gonna pivot back over here, because I'm about to say another thing, and then I have another journal entry. I really hope that you enjoy these journal entries, because I'm very excited that I have so much detail to add to these things. The very last thing that I have on this list is Summerween, which I will talk more in depth in a separate episode about Halloween specials in TV, but I also have, I just feel like the journal entry from, like, about the Summerween trickster is more appropriate in this episode than it would be in the Halloween episode. Since I'm already reading stuff from the journal, I thought that it would be more appropriate now. So, here we have the Summerween Trickster. And it kind of gives me, No Face vibes from Spirited Away, because it, like, I don't know. It's the, like, unsettling face on the front of it, and then the fact that it gets bigger and, like, chases the kids towards the end of the episode, it just gives me slight No Face vibes. So anyway, here we go. The Summerween Trickster. The scariest slash goofiest monster that we've encountered so far, and that kid isn't just in there for scale. We saw the trickster swallow him whole. What was his name? Crud, I don't know. There was, like, this little kid running around in this episode, and the Summerween Trickster swallowed him whole. I ticked him off for not having enough enthusiasm about a made-up local holiday called Summerween, and he almost destroyed us. One, tall, stretchy body is the stuff of nightmares. Hello? Tall, stretchy body is the stuff nightmares and taffy are made of. Two, really easily offended. If I was a 13-foot-tall immortal monster, I think I'd be a little less touchy. Three, raspy voice. Which Grenda said was super hot. Worried about her. We're all worried about Grenda, man. You're not alone, Dipper. Four, can morph its body just like... Okay. Okay. That's... Yes. Okay. All right. I just got really excited, and I'm sorry for that weird, like, excitement noise. Okay. Here we go. Number four, can morph its body just like Mr. Faceless from the anime movie The Cranky Girl Who Did Chores in Spirit Town? Yes, I love it. Mabel has watched that 82 times. Honestly, same, bro. I do not blame you. Every time that I watch Spirited Away, I want to take the most luxurious bath of my entire life and then eat, like, the best food. Like, I just want really good ramen and a really nice bath and then to sleep for, like, 6 days. I love that movie. Okay, number five, rips his clothes every time he transforms, which explains all the stitches. But after chasing... Sometimes when I, like, say words, my voice just, like, fades. But after chasing us around town all night, he revealed his true nature to us. This guy is made of loser candy, something like 30 years of loser candy, and all he ever wanted was for someone to eat him. The scariest thing that I saw on Summerween Eve was Seuss actually eating the Summerween Trickster. Second scariest was Stan trying to get into a girdle for his vampire costume. Ew. So yeah, the Summerween Trickster is just made of, he's just made of, like, gross loser candy. It's like the brown taffy and the orange wrapper and, Reese's Cups. It's like, which is already, like, an off-brand because trademark, but, And there's some really cool pictures in here. Maybe I'll tweet this picture of the journal out just so that y'all can see the Summerween Trickster, who looks like Mr. Faceless from The Cranky Girl Who Did Chores in Spirit Town. All of that is stuff that makes Gravity Falls really good, but there's so much more. And sure, some of this is kind of filler, but it really helps to build a world. Dipper and Mabel are in Gravity Falls for the whole summer, and they should be having fun. Speaking of fun, did you know that hidden in the end credits of the show is a code to decipher? I didn't notice it the first time that I watched the show, but then I saw a YouTube video about the show. I don't remember who made the video, but I remember that they said there was a code. So this time when I watched it, I looked for the codes at the end. I looked at the answers to the cipher, and honestly, if I had been watching the show when it was popular and had been figuring out the clues, my mind would have been blown when we finally met Bill Cipher. So, I'm gonna take this opportunity to briefly talk about Bill Cipher. Bill is a demon from the second dimension that tricks the journal's original author into helping him enter our dimension. The journals are a way to summon him, but then in Journal 3, it warns us not to trust him, so when Dipper and Mabel finally meet him for the first time, they know he's no good. He's the main source of conflict through most of the show, and honestly, he's one of my favorite TV villains. I love Bill. That's it. I love him. I don't have any more things to say about it because my brain just stopped. Okay. So, back into the ciphers and the hidden codes at the end of each episode. At the end of the theme song is a whisper, and if you play that whisper backwards, that is the clue for decoding the message in the end credits. I just Googled really quickly, and at least one time the voice says three letters back, which is telling you how to set up the cipher. I just want to know who the first person was to figure all this out. Not enough to Google it and put it in this podcast, but enough that I probably will Google it in my spare time. But props to Alex Hirsch for going above and beyond for when creating a world like Gravity Falls. The team didn't have to go that hard for us, but they did, and it's wonderful. I'm trying to convince Madison that she would really like Gravity Falls, and I think if we sat down and tried to do the ciphers together, then she would be way more into it. That might be a way to get somebody who isn't really into animation to watch Gravity Falls. Sit down and solve the ciphers together. Or just do it on your own. Get the full Gravity Falls experience. Like, that's what I'm going to do with the journal, because there's that whole page that's in code, and I'm going to sit down and I'm going to decipher it. I'm going to decode it. I think that is really cool. And again, how neat. Because, like, never in a show have I encountered something where the creator of the show has been so, like, adamant on creating a world where, like, there's, like, a hard copy of something that was in the show, and it, like, I don't know, it's real, and there's code in there to decipher, and there's, like, you get bonus content when you buy, I don't know, I feel like I'm rambling and I'm not making any sense. I'm just lit that there's so much, like, there's stuff to decipher, and if you have the book, then there's more stuff to decipher. And then at the end of the series finale, there was a real photo of an actual Bill Cipher statue hidden somewhere in real life. Like, it was a real thing that happened. And again, if I had watched the show when it was on, I would have lost my mind. So after the show ended, like months later, Alex Hirsch tweeted something that was basically like, "Are you ready?" And he gave a clue or something, and thus began the cipher hunt. It's kind of off topic, but I just wanted to add that in here because, again, they didn't have to go that hard for us, but they did. The hunt started in late July, and it was over in early August of 2016. But if that's something that you're into, I highly recommend Googling it because it is really cool. There were clues hidden, like, all over the world. Like, there was something, like, scrawled on a temple somewhere in Japan. And, like, the very first clue was somewhere in Russia. And it was, like, all over the world, all these different clues were hidden. And people had to, like, go out and find them. Kind of like the, was it the Cicada Project or something like that? Or it was, like, it was supposed to be the best, like, the people who were, like, the best at ciphering something in the whole world were supposed to be able to decode all these cicada things, and it was just, like, a picture of a cicada, and it was, like, there was a poster hanging up in, like, France, and there was another one in, like, Chile, or, like, I don't know where they were, but it was something along the same lines as the cipher hunt from Gravity Falls. So, we're gonna bring it back in. So, I just think that's really cool that they would go above and beyond doing something like that. Like, Steven Universe didn't do anything like that. And it's not like, you know, it's the whole premise of the show is, like, the mystery and the ciphers and the, you know, who wrote the journal? What does this, we see it several times throughout the show. There is, like, a zodiac circle thing, and then in the middle is a picture of Bill, and on the outside is, like, all these weird symbols. There's, like, a shooting star and a bag of ice and a heart with, like, stitches in it, and it's, like, all these weird things that we see throughout the show, and not until the very, very end of the show, like, the series finale, do we finally figure out what that means. And we've seen this symbol, like, it happens fleetingly in the background of shots or, like several frames of animation, like in one section of the intro or something like that. It's just, like, very fleeting. We'll see it. And so by the end, when we finally see it and we figure out what it means, we're like, oh, I've seen that symbol before. But it's never really, you know, we don't know what it means until the very, very end. And I love the way that all the world building happened. And okay, that's it. I'm gonna cut myself off right there, because otherwise I'm just gonna keep rambling and it's not gonna make any sense, and I'm not gonna be able to reel it back in and pull myself back into a script. So, here we go. Back into the script. I love Gravity Falls, and I'm super grateful to the show for getting me started watching all the shows that are now my favorites. This show has the perfect balance of mystery and goofy stuff for me personally. I love the humor. I love the pacing of it. They packed so much story into 40 episodes, it's insane. But it never feels rushed. And then after 40 episodes and almost the end of the world, Dipper and Mabel leave Gravity Falls to go back home to California. And I love, I had to watch the end scene to figure out I don't remember what it was, but I had to watch the end scene to, like, find a specific moment to remember something. I don't remember. But the bus, it doesn't ever say, I don't think it ever says where from California they are from. It just says California. So, like, the bus, when it comes to pick them up, the, like, thing on the front of the bus, it says Gravity Falls, and then it flicks over and it just says California. We don't know where in California. California is a big state. We don't know where they're going, just somewhere in California. So, I just thought that was fun. I really like when shows or movies end with a monologue from one of the characters. That personally gives me much more closure. One of my favorite movies of all time, like animated or not, is The Perks of Being a Wallflower. And at the very end, because through the whole movie and the whole book, if you read the book, it's Charlie writing these letters. And then at the end of the movie, the very last scene is like one last letter from Charlie, and he's narrating it over, like, after he's not done with the healing process, but like he's working through it, and he's basically saying, I don't think I'm gonna need to write these letters anymore, but, you know, if I don't know if I'm gonna have the time to write anymore because I might be too busy trying to participate. So if this does end up being my last letter, I just want you to know that I was in a bad place before I started high school and you helped me. And I don't think he's writing the letters to anyone, like, in particular. I think it's just kind of a way for him to keep a journal or something of how he's feeling. And just, like, that acknowledgement of, like, this is the end, but I appreciate everything that we went through together. So that I like that when things are narrated over by one of the characters, kind of in like a retrospective kind of a point of view. So, okay, getting back into this. The end of Steven Universe Future wrecked me. And it's not like it didn't end well, because it did. It just hit me really hard because it felt so silent. And it's not silent because there's like music playing over it, but like Steven's not saying anything. He's just like, I'm not gonna like spoil the end, but like, It feels so silent. I don't dislike the end of Future. It feels really intimate, and I like that. I just wish that there was kind of some, like, talking or something over it. I don't know. Like, at the end of the very first episode is Steven narrating, and he says something like, there are fundamental things that we know. There are fundamental things about ourselves that we know to be true, and it's important to remember those things when times get hard, or something to that effect. And I wish that they had done, like, a full circle or, like, a symmetry kind of a thing where, like, the first episode ended with him saying, like, remember who you are when times get hard. And then, like, at the end, I wish he had done the same thing where, like, I don't know who I am or who I want to be, but I'm going to figure it out or something like that. I don't know. I wish it kind of had ended like that, but I like how it ended. So, Gravity Falls ended with Dipper telling us to visit Gravity Falls. And we also see a montage of what everyone is doing after the summer ends. And just watching that scene removed from everything that happened in the finale is really nice, because it doesn't feel like a hard end. After Dipper gets done saying goodbye to Gravity Falls, he opens up a letter that Wendy gave him at the bus stop. And inside is a piece of paper that everyone in the town signed. And it says, see you next summer. And I love that, because they can always come back to Gravity Falls, and so can we. We can watch this show over and over again and relive this great story and this captivating mystery. But in the meantime, if you don't already own it, I highly recommend buying the official journal number 3. It is so cool, and y'all know that I love it because I've already read like 4 entries from this journal. All the stuff from the show is in there, plus some extra stuff from when Dipper had the journal, and then there's some epilogue stuff from the original author. And if you're curious about what happened to them, get this book. There's like 20 pages dedicated to their adventures, and it's really, really cool. So, I'd like to read from the end of the journal, and then I'll wrap up. Possible spoiler warning, I'll reveal the first name of the author of the journals, but only their first name, because I don't want to totally spoil it. So, let me pause for a second and get resituated. August 29th. Gravity Falls is back to normal, at least as normal as things get in this place, and although unusual phenomena are concentrated here, they are not confined to this location. There's a whole world out there that needs to be protected, and based on some strange signals that I've seen in the Arctic Ocean, I think a new adventure might be on the horizon. When my brother and I were kids, we would often read tales of the sibling brothers, about two boys who dedicated their lives to exploring mysteries together. For the record, the butler stole the capers, obviously. With a new anomaly to investigate, I've been thinking about those tales more and more lately. Dipper is no longer my apprentice, and Fiddleford has a genuine career as an adventurer ahead of him, so I think it's time for us to join forces again. At least I hope so. I haven't discussed my idea with my brother yet, but if I know him, he will jump at the chance to find money and babes. The path before us is clear, and it looks like this. It's a beautiful summer day. Everyone is packing for their respective futures, but I have found my mind drifting to how lovely the cloudless sky looks beneath the August sun. I've spent too long with my head in a book, and it's time to look at the world and people around me once more. But what to do with these journals? They've been created, destroyed, lost, found, buried, burned, and yet somehow, despite everything, they remain here like a curse I can't escape. I had suggested to Dipper that because of all the misfortune caused by them, we burn them in the last campfire of the summer. Mabel, Seuss, Stan, and all seemed very excited by this notion, but Dipper had a better idea. We'll burn all of my Bill Cipher artifacts instead. So we did. My scrolls, carpets, windows, everything I've collected with Bill went into this fire. We made s'mores and told stories until sunrise. It was Mabel who ultimately came up with the best solution of what to do with these journals. And so here we are at the bottomless pit, a mystery of Gravity Falls that I still have never fully solved. Based on my investigations, tossing these journals inside could land them just about anywhere. They may end up in the center of the Earth, being devoured by a subterranean dinosaur, or in another dimension, or somehow in the hands of another curious young mind whose adventure has just begun. Perhaps someone who will find secrets in this book that were hidden even from me. And that brings me to you, dear reader. If you are holding this book in your hands, you hold something more than a record of the curious happenings in a town called Gravity Falls. You hold a record of one man's folly and the kindness of a family that saved him from himself. It's never too late to learn that growing old doesn't have to mean growing up. Stay curious, stay weird, stay kind, and don't let anyone ever tell you that you aren't smart or brave or worthy enough. If you have come on these adventures with us, then you are an honorary member. Oh, you are an honorary member of our family, and your adventure starts today. And if anyone ever gets in your way, well, we have an entire section on curses. Have at it. For the last time, unless we meet in some distant world, this is the author signing off. Again, I had to censor that real hard as I was reading it, so the reading of that might be a little bit choppy, but that's okay. I hope that all came out. So, honestly, at this point, if you heard me read through that last entry in the journal, maybe you can kind of piece together who the original author was, but meh, you know, whatever. You're either going to figure it out by watching the show, or you're going to figure it out by doing what I did and watching a timeline video trying to figure out if you're actually going to be into the show or not. So, just, I didn't intentionally spoil anything, and so I can go to bed with a clean conscience knowing that. So, there is so much about Gravity Falls that I didn't talk about, and honestly, just go watch it. I saved it for October because while nothing about the show is inherently spooky, the mystery aspect of it makes it feel perfect for Halloween. So, that's all I've got for this week. Did you watch Gravity Falls while it was on TV, or were you a latecomer like me? Did you solve any of the ciphers? I'd love to hear from you and get your thoughts on Gravity Falls. Follow me on Twitter, @Kelby_cartoons, and don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Also, be sure to stick around next week when we'll be discussing Over the Garden Wall, another show that I've been dying to talk about. I'm going to have a guest with me, and we will be talking freely about all plot elements, so make sure that you go watch it before you come back and listen. It's a quick watch. I think it's like 10, 11-minute episodes, and it's perfect for October. It actually takes place around Halloween, so it's perfect for spooky month. So, I will see you back here next week for more spooky content, and until then, happy Saturday, or whatever day it is, whenever you're listening. Happy whatever, and happy spooky month.